going to be an event, and out of that event, we're going to invade Afghanistan. We're going to invade Iraq and make it all part of the new world order. And sure enough, later 9/11 happened, and there's going to be this war on terror, on which there's no real enemy, and the whole thing is a giant hoax, you know. But it's a way for the government to take over the American people. Look, this whole war on terror is a fraud. It's a farce. It's very difficult to say it out loud because people are intimidated against saying it. Because if you say it, they want to make you into a nutcase. The truth has to come out. That's why I'm doing this interview.
The Bush administration's open borders policy and its decision to ignore the enforcement of this country's immigration laws is part of a broader agenda. President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it. And he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
It's a deal that few have even heard of.
It's being done again by very few people at the very top on behalf of the investment class, but the working class of people, political officials across our country from communities, they don't know anything about this.
And dining over Thanksgiving and maybe watching some football games, big government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. Senator Lindsey Graham, who supports this bill, says, quote, "The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not."
Passed tomorrow a bill allowing the American military to imprison American citizens indefinitely without charge or trial.
Congress is essentially authorizing the indefinite imprisonment of American citizens without charge or trial.
Charles Dyer, I'm an Oath Keeper. I'm the 1st Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion out of in California. I can't imagine that we're living in the times where I have to worry about having to confiscate the weapons from the American people. Is that freedom? It's absolutely not freedom. Did I have to worry that we're gonna quarantine a city for the purposes of keeping them there hostage, like Katrina? Absolutely not. That's not freedom in any way that you can think of it. I'm almost speechless whenever I try to talk about this because I can't imagine that we're living in this kind of time. It really bothers me. Absolutely.
We need a painted picture of what is happening in this country. Let's recognize how history repeats itself. In February 1933, Hitler staged a false flag attack, burning down his own German parliament building, the Reichstag, and blamed it on communists. In the next weeks, he passed the Enabling Act, which completely eradicated the German constitution, destroying people's liberties. He then led a series of preemptive wars, all justified to the German people as necessary to maintaining homeland security. It's time to wake up.
Welcome back to the next edition of New World Out of Order. Hey, this edition we've got a call in. His name is Otto Hooper. He's out of Cleveland. He's got his own podcast out there. It's called Apartment 1518. It's like a real life comedy. Him and some friends hanging out and just talking about life, and it's really a great podcast. So, anyway, here's Otto Hooper. Let him kind of introduce himself and take off and see what's on his mind.
Than what you already said. I mean, my name is Otto Hooper. I'm from Cleveland. I do my own podcast. I've been talking to Mark for a while. And, you know, he got me more interested into, and I know you don't like the word conspiracy theorist, you know, that phrase, but it's kind of, in my opinion, that's kind of what it is. And I guess my whole thing of it is I'm kind of in the middle. I mean, you've definitely shown me some things that have opened my eyes more. But at the same time, I've always been skeptical about what our government said, and I've always been skeptical about what you know, some asshole that puts a video on YouTube. I couldn't even make it 5 minutes. Some asshole that puts something on YouTube with, like, music behind it, like, propaganda, is the same thing, I think, what the government does. So it's hard to really cipher through the bullshit and figure out what's real and what's not.
Yeah, now you hit that. It is tough because there's a, you know, you're right. Both sides do that. Exactly.
Right. I mean, because everyone has their own agenda. You actually sent me a video, or you mentioned it on one of your last podcasts, this Edward.
It's G. Edward Griffin.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, to be honest, I only got to watch 10 minutes of it. I mean, I got a newborn at home. A lot of time I'm doing work stuff, so it's hard to get away and research this kind of stuff. And I'm happy I have someone like you that's able to point me in the direction of where I need to go. But, you know, first 5 minutes in, it seemed like he had an agenda. And you mentioned to me that it was going to be kind of long-winded how he's explaining things. But I thought he was really fascinating. But, you know, he mentions when he was taught when he was younger. Says basically he goes off of fact and not opinion. But then he talks about how he taught some of this stuff when he was younger. Now, did that mean that his grandfather kind of taught him this stuff and, like, this stuff is put in his head? I mean, you know, because I think a lot of people that get into this kind of stuff are very, you know, that maybe their parents were radical people. And I don't mean radical Islamic or, you know, terrorists or anything. Just people that were like, I don't really trust everything my government says, and they teach that to their kids, and they grow up to think the same process, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. But you know, for actually everybody that's listening out there, I hope everybody takes the approach that you're taking and is being skeptical and actually is listening to the videos the way that you are and kind of questioning that. So, and that's where you need to take off and say, well, listen, I'm not sure if this guy is really on the level, if he's got his own agenda. Take off, right, man, and check him out, you know, look into him, right, and see what other independent people say about him. And learn about the guy. Yeah, that's great.
Of course. And I think that's the best way to do it because, you know, you also sent me another video. It was like 8 minutes long. There was Rage Against the Machine as background music, which, of course, like, right, point is that any person that wants to come up with a podcast or a YouTube channel or something, they have their own creativity to it where they have an agenda. And like I said, they put that Rage music in. It's like, okay, so, you know, Rage is obviously one of those artists that, like, you know, they question the government, you know, they don't like what they see and they make music about it. And they always have.
It sounds to me like that you're able to identify the propaganda type stuff in videos, right, and audio clips and things like that.
I don't know, but I kind of want to, if I can, I want to ask you some questions though, because it seems like I've been listening to your podcast and I love your podcast. What made you get into this work? You know, because you're a very passionate guy, but you're not to the point where, like I said, I feel like I can talk with you, and you're not just calling me an asshole for what I'm thinking.
No, that's the worst thing. I appreciate you asking that question. I got into it. It's been about 3.5-4 years ago. It was something about 9/11 that kind of sparked my interest. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I started looking into some of the events of 9/11, and that's really what started it. And you know, there's some really good groups out there, organizations that are really trying to get the attention of America in regards to 9/11, just so everybody will understand the truth. What happened was not exactly the way that it was reported to happen, and what happened was not the way that the government says it happened in the 9/11 commission. It's fact, too. I mean, I know a lot of people, and you too, and hopefully you've got some specific questions that we can talk about here. But
you mentioned like the facts that were put out there weren't exactly the facts that happened on 9/11, correct?
Oh yeah.
But the way I see it is, if I'm a detective and there's a murder and I want to go investigate this, I don't really let out what's going on with the public right off the bat until I know who did what, where this person was during this time, you know, checking the alibis and everything. And granted, this did happen in 2011, but this wasn't just one murder. It was a mass murder You know, how many people? 3,000 people?
About 3,000.
Died roughly?
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I wouldn't really expect the government to come out and hand, like, this is what happened. This is everything we have right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to show your cards because you're still investigating. Now, like I said, it's been 10 years, and it still seems like it's the same shit. But, you know, like I said, it's a big investigation because it was something huge that happened. Does that mean that it is a conspiracy, or does that mean that it is not a conspiracy? I don't know.
No, but what you mentioned about the investigation is over. The government investigation is over. The government was not even going to do an investigation, period. Now, you need to kind of put that in perspective just to realize the investigation that was done with Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. It was intense, and it captivated the country, and
right.
It was on the and no one got
right.
hurt. No one got killed. Right now,
right.
Here's 3,000 of our American citizens that were killed. And we were able to watch it on TV and, you know, some strange things. One of them is the investigation that you mentioned, you know, because what you were saying is right. If you're doing an investigation, you're not necessarily going to let the public in on what you're investigating. Well, how was it that our government were able to identify who did this that day? And they came on, President of the United States came on and said that to the American people that day, who did this. Now, I find that a little strange, okay, because of what you said. Normally, you wouldn't do that kind of stuff, right? The other thing is the investigation.
Right.
They weren't even going to do an investigation at all. They were pressed
right.
hard by the Jersey Girls, is what they were called. They pretty much spearheaded the 9/11 investigation. There is a lot of omissions in the 9/11 investigation. Need to talk about as well. So you brought up a good point there.
It's like I said, me being a skeptic, it's hard for me to believe that like an investigation like that would still be open.
Well, from the government's perspective, the 9/11 Commission, they closed the investigation. They closed the case at the 9/11 investigation. That's the important part, is that people like the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth and pilots for 9/11 Truth and military officers for 9/11 Truth, and that's all they're asking for. They're saying, hey, we want an independent investigation. We want a real investigation.
Right.
But the 9/11 Commission, when it was finished and it was published, that closed the case for the United States government.
Let me ask you this. Let's say they did open this back up and they got like an independent contract. Do you think that there's enough evidence out there that they would be able to get the case back up and find out more information than what we already know, or something that they even covered up?
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Now, let me ask you this, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but let's say some investigation does happen, and we, the people of the United States, find out that 9/11 was a conspiracy. Where do we go from that point?
Well, where I've gone from that point is, you know, continuing to look into it, the motives of why they would do this. And, you know, that's led me into learning a whole lot about the underground government of the country and really the world. Unfortunately, the 9/11 attack is just a speck on the radar. I mean, as horrific and as such a grand scale that event was, on the real scale of what's going on in the world, it's just a speck on the radar, unfortunately. So what we would do, and if everybody realized that 9/11 was a true conspiracy, what we would do then is continue to educate everybody as far as who really operates and controls the world and what they're trying to do. That's the most important part right now. Not only what they're trying to do, but when they're trying to do it.
Right.
That's extremely important that we get everybody educated. Primarily right now, the military. The military. Let's take the latest National Defense Authorization Act of 2012 that was just signed. That's a bill that's passed every year that provides the budget for the military. This one, they actually put a little rider in there, which they always do. But this one, it actually allows the military to come in and arrest and detain American citizens on American soil indefinitely without charge or trial. The reason that they say they're doing this, the way they sell this, is they tell everybody, well, we're trying to protect Americans against terrorists. And everybody buys that. Well, we already have laws terrorism and any act of crime or harm on any citizen is already a law. They don't need, they don't need to have the military. Not only do they not need to, it is a violation of the Constitution to turn the American military on American citizens and on American soil. That is a violation of the Constitution. And that's what everybody needs to understand. They are overstepping the bounds of the Constitution, and it has gotten so common, they don't even bat an eye anymore. Over Christmas vacation, President Obama violated the Constitution again. He actually appointed the head of this group while Congress was on break. He can't do that. According to the Constitution, that is totally illegal.
Right.
Of course, it's illegal for the, for any president to declare war without Congress actually declaring war, right? Well, that hasn't stopped them since 1990. That they've been doing that since 1990.
Right.
People need to get upset. This is total flagrant violations of the Constitution. And not only is it violations of the Constitution, they're writing laws that actually make it legal for them to do this. So they're, what they're doing is they're actually shredding the Constitution. And that's not by accident.
Right. And I agree with that. I mean, that's fucked up, and I think people need to do something. But I don't see it happening. I've always been told this frog in boiling water effect. And it seems like it's especially now where, you know, you put the frog in boiling water, it's going to jump out. But if you put it in water and then slowly bring it to a boil, the frog won't notice and he'll eventually obviously die. And obviously that seems like that's what's been going on here. And I just don't think that there's enough people out there that's willing to start this quote-unquote revolution. People are too comfortable, you know, no one even questions things anymore. You're not that they ever did. It seems like Americans have always kind of, going back the last, 50, 60 years, it doesn't seem like they're coming out that people really question a whole lot of the people that were leading the country. And it seems like it's happening now a lot, but I still don't see the huge amount of numbers. I mean, otherwise, we would have, you know, I think Ron Paul was a serious candidate, but I don't honestly think he is because I don't think the numbers are behind him.
That's right. But we have to start somewhere. There's a whole lot more people questioning, you know, demonstrating and trying to get their voices heard. There's a whole lot more of those doing that today than they were yesterday. And there's a whole lot more doing it this year than last year. So that's why I was so encouraged by Occupy Wall Street. You know, people that, you know, listen to the mainstream media and accept their explanation and their, all the false stories they put out there about the violence and, in the Occupy Wall Street. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to sit here and say, discredit that movement. That's actually what that movement is all about, is what you just said.
Right.
It's the people getting together, you know, hollering, raising their hand, going like, no, this is wrong. This has got to stop.
Right. And even, to be honest, I'm guilty of looking at the movement because I see a bunch of young college kids, anyone with authority. So that's where, you know, even myself, like, look at these kids, and it's like every protest has something they wanted to change. It wasn't just like, hey, let's pick three and let's protest these three. And as things go on, then we can start talking about other things that we feel need to be changed. And this is my opinion. I mean, you might have a little different opinion. I know you were out there protesting.
That's what I wanted to ask. Have you been to a protest?
No, I haven't.
And the reason that I knew that you haven't, because you were talking about the young kids out there. And I'm assuming the reason that you're saying that is because that's what you see on TV. That's what they show.
Right.
Go to the protest.
You're right.
Go to the protest.
You're absolutely right.
You, and talk to the people. You'll see that it's not just the young people. It's older people. It's actually a lot of retired people. It's actually a lot of veterans that are out there. That type of method of propaganda from the government is working on you and everybody else in the country because they're watching, you know, the mainstream media, NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, and that's what they're seeing. That's what that's how they're forming their opinion.
I should actually go out to a protest and hear what they have to say instead of listening to what the media is throwing at. You're absolutely right. But here's another thing. You're talking about the media. If they get a story their way, I can't believe this is happening. They do their own investigation. They turn out it's true. Like something the government fucked up on. You always hear Obama fucked up on this or Bush fucked up on that. And we're going to just bash the president as much as possible and every other leader of any other country, or someone in the Senate, why would the media be like, well, we're not going to go do a story on this because we don't want to make the government look bad. But yet they're always doing it, and they're always looking for those stories. That's the one thing I don't buy is the government controlling the media. I don't buy that.
You don't buy that at all, huh? So
I don't understand why they wouldn't. If there's a story, and it's going to make big news, and it's going to make them look better, but yet they won't do a story to make, you know, that would bring out some truth in what's going on, whether it's with 9/11, or what about the Obama thing, where he signed this thing and it's against the Constitution? Did any news media bring that up?
Very, very few. Exactly. It did not make headline news at all.
That's what I don't get.
The reporters that go out there, who's to say that you're hearing everything that they're reporting? To me, it's not being controlled on the reporter level. It's being controlled at the editor's desk. You know, in other words, the stories might be there and they might be produced, but the editor will not allow them to be broadcast or published or whatever. Now, that's just an assumption on my part. As far as the media being controlled by the government, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. In fact, well, not the government, the federal government as we know it, our elected officials, no. But what's
the Ashkenazi Jews that are controlling the media? I knew it. That's what it is.
Well, if you listen to that podcast when they created the Illuminati, the four methods, one of the methods in there was to control the press. For one thing, I don't have any doubt that those are great methods to control people, and they seem extremely potent in that effort.
Of course.
So then if you move forward and say, yeah, that's a good idea. Is that all the methods that you can use to control people? No. But are those four valid for controlling people? Absolutely. So if you look forward and you look at the guy that was sent over here, he's actually a Rothschild by blood. His name is Jacob Schiff. He was sent over here back in the late 1800s, I believe, early 1900s. His agenda was to get control of the American money again. One of the ways that he did that was to control the media. And that's where Rockefeller, by marriage, is actually a Rothschild as well. That's where they came in, and he actually started purchasing up the American media. In fact, that's widely known. It's not even contested. And the thing is, it's not widely known, but it's not contested. Rockefeller himself, in 1991, Bilderberg Group, and there was a video on YouTube. In fact, you can't find it anywhere now. And I wish somebody who has that, you know, downloaded, I wish they would repost that again, because I'd like to get a copy and save it. But it's a video of David Rockefeller at the Bilderberg Group meeting, 1991, making a speech saying how much he appreciates the cooperation of the media in not disclosing their actions for the last 40 years, because there's no way that they could have progressed with their movement for a one world government if they had have. Now, that's directly out of his mouth. Now, what's your reaction to that?
That totally surprises me. I mean, it catches me off guard. How am I supposed to argue with the head? I mean, if the guy himself is saying, basically thanking the media for hey, you know, we couldn't have got all this stuff done without you guys not getting in our shit. Like, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and actually, that video will surface again sometimes. I mean, I know there's people out there like me that have a copy of it. I don't have a copy. Next time I see it, I will definitely grab a copy. But you can go out there and get the recorded, the transcripts or there's plenty of places that are actually quoting that exact, you know, speech. That's available everywhere.
You don't think that would be on YouTube, would you?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's been taken off of YouTube. It was on YouTube. It was everywhere on YouTube, but it's been taken off of YouTube. Yeah, YouTube is, there's a lot of videos that have been removed from YouTube. And that's what concerns me, is that the censorship of YouTube by the, you know, removal of videos has increased dramatically in a year. It really has. It's pretty scary. Yeah. How much stuff is actually disappearing out there.
Anything, the most important thing to me is censorship. Because, like I said, I have a podcast, you have a podcast. You know, I enjoy listening to the radio. I've been an Opie and Anthony fan for fucking years, you know, and I love hearing those guys do what they do, and I love the fact that I can get on a podcast or go on a stage and do some kind of comedy, you know, and not be censored. And the day that they take that away is the day that I'll fucking go off. Well, like, there's nothing more important to me than the freedom of speech.
Well, get ready. Are you familiar with the SOPA bill?
I've heard of it.
It's a bill in Congress right now. And what it is, the pretense of it is to allow the government to restrict or have control to really turn off the internet if a serious situation. And also, the main thing they're really promoting is that they're trying to get people to stop pirating and stealing, intellectual information, music and things like that, and selling that on the internet. That's what they're trying to sell that bill as. But that's not the way the bill, that's not it. That right there provides full censorship of the internet. If we allow this to pass, the podcast that I'm doing right now will not be allowed anymore.
You think my podcast will still be allowed?
Yours probably will, because it's just comedy. And
well, fuck you. I don't care about your podcast. Well,
that's right. Priorities, right, man?
I hear it. It's a dog eat dog rule out there. Now I got one more competitor. Or one less, I should say. I would hate if that day comes. I mean, that to me definitely would say, like, you know what? That everyone who's a conspiracy theorist, they're probably right about looking into this and everything. But like I said, until that moment, I gotta be skeptical about it. I still am. But I will say that you, out of everyone else, and it's probably because when I talk to you, you're not, like I said, you're not the type of guy that says you're an idiot for the way you think. You listen to what I have to say, and you're just really down to earth and cool about it.
Glad you can't read my mind. You said that if it ever gets to that point, that's when you really go off. Well, Otto, we can't let it get to that point. If we let it get to that point, it's too late. We can't let it get to that point.
Well, like you said, what are we supposed to do? Because when I look at it, like, to me, I think the people that want to get something done, I honestly think it's a losing battle for them, and here's why. Technology has gotten so crazy. I'm sure it's possible to just flick a switch and all of our phones turn off, you know? They flick a switch and our internet's gone. Shit like that, it's out there. I mean, if you're talking about the SOPA bill, like you said, they can flip a switch and the internet's gone. How are we going to sneak anything by the government where we could possibly start a revolution? And not to mention, where do we go? It's not like back in the first Revolutionary War, or the Revolutionary War, the first, I'm such an idiot, where we were here in America and our enemies were across the sea. It was, it would be us against our government, and we have nowhere to go to where it would be our territory. You know, we are in their territory.
So right now, as far as the revolution, you're saying how would they actually organize this? And
how could we organize it to where we would, like I said, for people, the people of the United States, the people like you, the people like Mr. Eternal, the people that truly believe this, I feel like it's a losing battle because there's nowhere, like I said, you're going to be fighting against the government that has so much more technology than what we do.
Well, actually, I wish I could actually talk a little bit more about this, because that's a very, very important thing for people to realize. Because in order to, understand there's a problem, you have to admit that there is a problem. You have to actually educate yourself and be aware that, hey, there is a problem, and admit that. Okay. And the next thing to do is you need to get activated to where you're going to actually try to stop this problem. And then, of course, the next thing, what are we going to do to actually make things better? Now we've stopped this from happening. Now what are we going to do to make things better, right? That's the key point. And you're right. You can't just come out and do this in the open without the government monitoring, because they monitor everything. That's some of the stuff that I've been looking into. And, I'm not ready to disclose anything that I'm finding on there yet. I'm really not, because for two reasons. Main thing is I'm not convinced that the things that I'm finding out are true yet, if the people really are true and are trying to work towards this. And the next thing is even if I do, I'm not sure if I'm going to disclose that, especially right. on the internet or any kind of a phone conversation or any kind of a thing. But there again, I don't want people to think that I know something that's, I don't know anything. I'm out here on the internet looking at stuff, trying right. to trying to find like-minded people like me. That's a good question though. Yeah, that's good. There's a lot of people out there who are organizing by way of the internet right now and sharing their thoughts and sharing their passions and their displeasure of what's going on right now. And they are making, coming up with ideas of how to make things better. Now, the big thing is being able to implement those ideas. The military is a huge, huge part of any sort of a correction here. It is a huge part. And that's why it's extremely important for the military to be educated on this. And that's why I'm really, really promoting everybody to go out and support Oath Keepers. Really, really support Oath Keepers. Is it the best movement? I'm not saying that, but I really like what they're doing out there.
Is there a website for that, Mark?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oathkeepers.org. You go out there and it's like a $20 membership, or actually might even be $12. I'm not sure. And what that does, that just supports them. You know, they're not financed by anybody except for membership, primarily for active and retired military, but also civilians, non-military people can join up as associate members. And that's the way I joined, because I'm not military. And it's just a reaffirmation of their oath, because every military and or public servant in the country has to take an oath before they enter the service or take office. Part of that oath says that you will defend the Constitution against enemies, both foreign and domestic. And that's what everybody has to realize right now, is that our biggest enemies are domestic. The head of the dragon is not domestic. The head of the dragon is in Europe. But the portion that we have to actually get severed here is a domestic problem.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that one. I mean, I definitely think we have a lot of domestic problems, but,
You know, what's going on right now with, they've actually deployed the military into this country back in 2005. A lot of people aren't aware of that. That's totally against the Constitution, and they've been continuing to deploy American military in this country since 2005. When they first deployed, they came out and they said it was for getting ready for if there was any kind of civil disobedience. They actually retracted that statement the same day, and because the guy kind of let the cat out of the bag. And they said, oh, no, it's not for civil disobedience. It's for in preparation for any sort of a terrorist act, right? Well, the real reason they're being deployed is for civil disobedience, okay? Civil disobedience has started with Occupy Wall Street. Okay. Now, the civil disobedience there is actually being injected into Occupy Wall Street. And, you know, there's a lot of stories you won't hear on mainstream media, but you can go out there and check them out into some private media corporations such as Salon.com, GlobalResearch.ca. There's, you know, American Free Press. There's just numbers of them where you can get the real story here. What they're doing is, if you want to have complete control of the people right now, okay, one of the things you have to do is they've already got the press. They don't have the internet, trying to get the internet. And the other thing is they would like to be able to take all any kind of potential vigilantes or rebellious type people, perhaps, and I'm sure I would be considered one of those because I'm speaking out against this, remove them from society. Now, how can they actually come out here and remove them from society? Well, they can change the laws to where it says, hey, we can go out and arrest American citizens for any reason we want, and we can detain them without a trial forever. So they've done that, okay? But in order to do the masses, and I know this is going to sound very conspiracy theorist, but you need to go out here and look at this, to do essentially a mass occupation, really, of people. And they have what's called FEMA camps. These are detention camps that have been built. The very first ones were built under a program called Rex 84. Go out there and check it out. It's not like it's being hidden or anything. The Rex 84 package was financed. The money was appropriated for the reason of being able to house and detain illegal aliens in, you know, preparation for deportation, right? So they built all of these camps for that, right? Of course, you see what's happened to the illegal immigrants. They like them. They want more. They're not trying to get them out of the country. And since then, actually since 9/11, they've actually built many, many, many more camps. And it's in the hundreds of detention camps. What's really alarming is this year, and actually just actually since summer, they have been staffing these. A lot of these camps have been dormant. There's nobody working there. They're not staffed or anything. They're just built. They're just sitting there. They've actually started staffing these camps right now. They're hiring people to man them.
Do you think I can put my resume on CareerBuilder and they might find it and I can go work at one of these camps? Can I put you down as a reference in case I get a job interview?
tell them I give you a hell of a reference. Plus, just hey, also tell them, say, hey, I got a friend who wants to work here too.
Take a little note, like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make a lighter side of a serious situation. Well, you know how my head works.
We can't let this stuff get us down. I mean, the truth is the truth. Can't just crawl in the corner and curl up in a fetal position. We just can't do that. It is what it is, and if we want to not be what it is, we've got to recognize it and stand up and stop it. We've got to stop it before it happens. Can't stop it after it happens.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that. We've got to nip it in the bud before it happens. I just think it's so hard to take in, partially because talking about
G. Edward Griffin, yeah.
Like I said, it's just coming from a family where I never really, like, it wasn't this whole rebellion against the authority kind of figures. It's kind of hard for me to take in. One thing I wanted to ask you, what does your family think of all this?
I'm married and I have one daughter. My daughter's 16. My wife understands what I'm saying. She believes it. She is like most Americans, though. She's kind of in just a denial. She doesn't want to accept it, so she doesn't want to hear
right.
about it. When we
right.
do talk about it, and I ask her, I said, well, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? She goes, yeah. She goes, I just can't listen to it. I just get tired of listening to it. I'm going like, well, I get tired of reading about it. I do.
Right.
But
right.
There's nothing besides my wife and daughter. There is nothing more important in my life than this situation. And I'm telling you, when you come to the point to where you know all of the things that I know, I just can't imagine anybody not also saying that. Because what you just said about you have a wife and you have a newborn, right? Well,
yeah.
That's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about your kid. We're talking about
right.
what your kid's going
right.
to be able to do.
You're right. Right. The future. I mean, right. I know.
It's overwhelming.
It is. And it's rough to take in and everything. And, it's just so hard to comment, I guess, because there's just so much out there and there's so much info, that, and especially if you don't know about it, but anyone who's listening, Mark knows a good amount of his shit. And, he's obviously passionate about it. I mean, if a guy says that, like, hey, my family comes first and then this is a second, like, that says a lot, and he's out there, he's researching and doing his part, and, hey, man, you're awesome in my book. I mean, there's nothing more I can say about it. I just want to thank you for having me on and giving me some more info and letting me put some of my input in, and it was a good time.
Man,
I really do appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you coming on because that's what I want everybody to realize is that me and you both we're Joe Public. We're Joe Public,
right.
And
right.
And that's it. It's like I don't get paid for this, and I don't endorse anybody to where I get paid or anything. I'm an American citizen, and I'm concerned about what's going on with my country.
Right.
That's what it's all about. Before we take off, I want to ask you one thing because the root of all this is the money. And it's the money. It's the money and the power. And the way that you get the power is through the money. Did you listen to the podcast, my very first one on the Federal Reserve?
Yes, I did.
Well, I just want to. Do you understand how the Federal Reserve operates and why the Federal Reserve is bad? Because I would like to kind of review that real quick. It is actually it's a part of the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds,
right, okay.
They control the world's financial institutions. It's a way for them to control a nation's money, and which
right.
really allows them to control the country. Give me control of a nation's money, and I care not who makes their laws. The Federal Reserve, it's the third central bank. The central bank is what is the Rothschilds financial institutions, and this is the third one that was in our country. But what makes it bad? It's a private organization, and every dollar that we produce in this country that we put into circulation is debt. Okay, because the Federal Reserve actually makes this out of nothing. there is no basis for the money, right? Well, then why can't the U.S. government do that? Why do we have to have a private company make our money to where we actually, if we borrow a dollar, we actually owe $1.10? We always owe more than we have. That's how they have control over you. That's why that we're in debt so much, because we always owe more than we have. That's why the debt ceiling has to keep being raised all the time. Another thing is the fractional reserve system. Now, this is how they really, really make money, is that they only require lending institutions to retain 10% of their reserves. So the other 90% can go out as loan. Well, and you think about that, it's like, well, it doesn't sound too bad. Well, here's how it really works, though. And this is what makes it bad. A bank takes in $1 million deposit. According to the rules of fractional reserve, you're saying, okay, well, they have to retain 100,000 of that, and they can loan out 900,000 of that. That doesn't sound too bad.
Right.
You know, they actually have it. The money originally doesn't exist. Remember, the Federal Reserve made it up. That's the first bad thing. The next thing is they have this $1 million with fractional reserve. The way they see it is they can actually loan out $9 million. They have to retain 10% of their deposits. Well, if they just keep the whole $1 million, then they can loan out $9 million. And that money came from nowhere. The banks made it up.
So you're saying that the bank has $1 million and they have to keep 10% of their loan, but they can lend out $9 million?
They can lend out 90% of their reserves, yep. So in other words, if they take a deposit, an actual deposit of $1 million, with $1 million they can keep the $1 million. It actually happens over a successive amount of banks that actually do this, but they can keep the $1 million and they can loan out $9 million. The $9 million, which you must understand, doesn't exist.
Right. It just appears out of nowhere.
Exactly. And that's every bank in the country. Now, do you see how this country, it's fake? It's all fake.
Yeah. I guess what surprised me the most is that this group can just kind of make this up out of nowhere, because I was assuming that, like, the money that we have to do with, like, the gold or diamonds or some kind of, like, because money's just paper. To me, it just makes no sense where they just make something out of nothing.
Make it
like, here's your currency, so we're going to, you know, it's going to be a percentage we're going to take out, which would cause us to always be in debt.
Okay. You know, what people have to stop doing is allowing, you know, the bureaucrats to be able to smooth over issues like this with just language and making us feel foolish because we don't understand the complexities of all this stuff. Well, see, that's all bullshit. That's all bullshit.
Right.
The banks can make money. They can actually create money, and it's all legal.
Right.
And it really comes down to this. What happens if you and I go create money?
Oh, fuck.
Serious federal offense.
No kidding.
What's the difference? The law. They make the laws. People have to really, you know, stop and look at, use common sense and look at these situations in black and white. Politicians are all going to tell you, well, there's a whole lot more behind it and stuff like this. It's going like, well, I tell you what, let's just discuss it in simple terms here.
Right.
You know, for idiots like me, let's just talk about it in simple terms. Why do we have to have a law that says our military can arrest anybody and detain them when we already have laws that says, hey, we can arrest criminals? And they're detailed and they're specific about criminal, what they can and can't do. Why? Not because of terrorists. You know, Aaron Russo, he really let the cat out of the bag back when he disclosed what the Rothschilds told him. What he said is the war on terror is a farce.
You just kind of blew my mind there. I guess when I heard it the first time, it didn't really make sense to me. But now when you explain it like that, shit, like you said, what can you say? I mean, like, that's just, it's like you said, it's mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing. You know, they created the World Bank, and this is, I don't know, back in the 30s or whatever, they created the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers created the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. What they tell you is that, hey, we're going to go out here and we're going to help third world countries and we're going to provide them the finances that they need to bring them up out of poverty and educate their kids and give them, you know, new technology and all kind of good stuff, right? Sounds all good, right? So everybody goes, yeah.
Right.
And they turn back around and they turn on American Idol and start watching American Idol, right? chief economist of the World Bank, an ex-chief economist of the World Bank. Now, the chief economist of the World Bank is the dog. He's the dog in the bank. Joseph Stiglitz. You can go out there and read many articles, and he's got some books out there. He tells you what goes on in those World Bank, right? The World Bank says, and the International Monetary Fund say that they go into a country that they're looking to help, and they have a special program where it's customized just for that country, and they go evaluate all this. He tells you, hey, that's all bullshit. Here's a four-step plan. This is what they do. They go in there and say, hey, you're going to sell us your infrastructure, your water systems, your power systems, and your school systems, your prison systems. I'm going to privatize those, right? They're actually going to be sold to predestined companies. And one of those companies used to be Enron, just to give you an example. And then what they do is they say, hey, you're going to reduce the amount of your workforce. You're going to start firing people, and you're actually going to reduce wages. And now you have to pay us all this money because you're taking this loan from us. And these are the conditions for our loan. This is legalized loan sharking. They can never get out of this loan. They can never get out of the situation. Check out this guy, Joseph Stiglitz, used to be the chief economist for the World Bank. Listen to his words. Listen to his words. He tells you what's going on with these guys. So
let me ask you this. What is the Rothschilds, like, how many things in the United States do they have their hands in?
You'll never know. I don't know, and nobody will ever know. Okay, the Federal Reserve. Okay, now you know it's a private corporation. Okay, you know it's not federal. Right. You know, that should be a slap in the face for most people. But what you don't know is that they won't even disclose who owns them. Not only will they not disclose their books with our money, they won't even disclose who owns them. Nobody knows officially who owns them.
That's a fucking huge red flag, in my opinion.
Isn't it?
Hey, fucking A, right.
Yep.
They're not disclosing who owns the Federal Reserve, which basically we get all of our currency from.
Yeah, and they're loaning all of our money to other countries and stuff. Actually, other central banks. It's absurd. Really, the central government for us is the Council on Foreign Relations. That's who runs our country.
Right.
Their main objective is to dissolve the United States and to create the one world government. That is their main objective. And if you look at who the members of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is not hidden, it's public. There's approximately 4,000 members, and you'll see the heads of every major media in the world are members of the Council on Foreign Relations.
You must read a lot of fucking material to get all this shit, man. Holy fuck, my head's about to explode, and you're just, like, rambling stuff off that I've never even heard of before.
It's just the tip of the iceberg, I'm telling you.
Just I bet. Believe me.
Take off and read about the Council on Foreign Relations, man. Take off and read about it. I mean, look at the video. There's still videos out there of Cheney, Dick Cheney, when he's addressing the Council on Foreign Relations, and he's saying that how he had, was glad to be back because he had quit when he was running for office. You know, he goes, now I didn't tell my constituents in Iowa that, and they all laughed, you know, because, you know, the people who really know anybody on Council on Foreign Relations immediately mark them off. Do not support them whatsoever. Newt Gingrich, member of Council on Foreign Relations. Santorum, Council on Foreign Relations. Huntsman, very closely tied to the Council on Foreign Relations. Actually, Mitt Romney is not, which I was kind of surprised to find out. Of course, Ron Paul definitely isn't, and Michelle Bachmann is not.
Now, obviously, you're gonna vote for Ron Paul.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Now, do you? Let me ask you this: do you honestly think that he's going to make some kind of change if he was elected?
What Ron Paul, I believe, in reality, what he is, I think, is going to be able to do, hopefully, is to bring this movement to the forefront. He is going to face extreme opposition in getting rid of the Federal Reserve, which he said he's going to do, and to get rid of the IRS, which he says he's going to do. It's going to be very, very hard for him. The biggest thing that I worry about Ron Paul is his security. Everyone who's ever challenged a central bank in the United States, lead politician-wise, has been assassinated or attempted to be assassinated. You know, that's why Kennedy was assassinated. In the last podcast, I mean, you've got to give this some credit here, too. He signed Executive Order 11-110, which, you know, rescinded the Federal Reserve, essentially. It gave the power to create and control money back to the U.S. government. That pissed him off. That pissed him off big time. Well, as soon as he was taken out on the plane, there again, he had nothing more important to do, right? Johnson, as he's on Air Force One, you know, with Jackie Kennedy, they're flying back to Washington. He has nothing better to do, right? The very first act that he does after he gets sworn in as a president, and he does it on the plane, he rescinded Executive Order 11-110. You've got to wonder, why would that be so important to do that immediately and right then? Is there nothing else more important? It was of vital importance to them.
No kidding. I will look into that. That sounds saucy. I will look into that one.
That sounds a little meaty, doesn't it?
It sure does. No kidding. Like, at the beginning, I was like, you know what, this is going to be good. We got like a good dialogue. And now I just have nothing to say because I don't know what I could say. Just because I haven't done the research that you do, obviously. And I just never knew about most of this stuff, you know?
Do what you were doing. Always ask questions of anybody, me, anybody. Continue to ask those questions that you started off asking. Always.
I will continue to do that. I will always ask questions. I don't know. It's fucking crazy.
It is.
It just seems like there's so much out there. It seems like this is like a never ending, you know, I mean, we're talking about 9/11. And then we go all the way back to, you know, with Kennedy. Well, I mean, obviously, it's two conspiracy theories. I guess that's not too big of a jump. But at the same time, talking about, you know, on the airplane, Jackie O, to me, that's just craziness. Like I said, I don't know. I can't comprehend it because I don't know enough about it.
Yep. You know? Well, and that's why we're here. I'm not here to convince anybody. I'm here to pique people's interest to where they'll go out and they'll look into it and convince themselves, you know. And just to make things clear here, too, because I'm making the last podcast and this one, I'm kind of disclosing some information that, you know, I know is going to make, you know, me even a bigger target, you know, for monitoring by the government. And just to let everybody know, I'm in perfect health and I'm not contemplating suicide whatsoever. You know, great health. Just had a checkup the other day.
You have some interesting, I'm just going to say their ideas because, like I said, I'm going to do my own research on it. It's probably going to take me 20 years to get to the point where you are, but I promise you I will do my own research and I will put my own opinion on it. It might be exactly the same as what yours is, or it might be the opposite, but either way, I'll do my part and I'll try I'll continue questioning what's going on, no matter if it's pro-conspiracy theorists or pro-government. Either way, I will continue to do that, Mark.
Cool. Well, that's good.
You've been a really good influence on me, and anyone who listens to the podcast, I think even the non-believers, I think that would probably listen to your podcast, would at least give you some kind of clout that, like, hey, this guy, he's not, you know, he's not unreasonable. He's not shouting. He doesn't have rage in the fucking background. You know, freedom! It's just Mark doing his thing. Telling it how it is, and just going off the research that he's done.
Well, I appreciate that, Otto.
I'm looking for the podcast where you get on with someone who wants to challenge you in what you think. That's what I'm really looking forward to.
Okay. Well, if you come across anybody like that, you give them my number, okay? So we can do that, because I definitely welcome that. But appreciate those words. And first thing to do, the most important thing right now is we stop SOPA. Stop that. Do not allow this to get passed. Share that with your friends and, you know, write your congressman. I know that's an old cliche. It's the least that you can do. It's probably very ineffective. It's the least you can go on record as that. Go out here, and I wish I had on the tip of my tongue some of the petitions or things that you could sign, but you can go out there and look for them, the anti-SOPA deal. But we just got to get together. Go on the internet, find the groups that are getting, join them. Make a big group, and then, you know, we push against politicians and say, no, we don't want this. It's not what we want. So, you know, and share it with your friends. That's the biggest thing. Share it with your friends and family. Get them all talking. Now, what you're going to find out here is a lot of your friends that you might share this with, they're going to come out and say, yeah, I've kind of looked into a little bit of that. People are doing this, but they're a little scared to admit they are, because, you know, people are just so afraid of the conspiracy theory type stigma thing.
Right.
So you'll be surprised that a lot of people that you don't think you're aware really are kind of aware. So, Wado, I'm glad you came on. Good to hear from you.
Hey, had me. Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, thanks for having me. I've always enjoyed talking to you. This is the first time where we actually recorded a conversation. Check out my podcast. It is Apartment 1518. You can find us on Podomatic. You can find us on iTunes. Just look up 1518 Productions or APT 1518. We have a Facebook page, APT 1518. Check us out. And
all right, man. Sounds good.
All right, boss.
All right, take care.